out this morning. I didn't even realize what time it was. I was having such a good time back there talking to Brother Greg. Sitting there looking at the events and things on our bulletin, and he says, I didn't even realize it was my anniversary this week. And no, he actually did. He said he found it on the computer this morning when he was looking at the internet on our webpage, and he saw Greg and Suzanne on there. He thought, what did I do? So, but anyways, it's good to have you out this morning. Looking forward to what the Lord has for us this morning. And let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to worship and praise you this morning. Lord, we want to first just set aside everything that's we're thinking about. Lord, we want to just put our minds stayed on you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Give us exactly what we need to hear. Lord, I pray that if there's one here that doesn't know you, that today will be the day of salvation. Lord, again, thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Brother Greg, I get in trouble if I don't notice a haircut 10 minutes after I walk in the door. If I forgot an anniversary, whoo. Let's turn to page number 468, Ring the Bells of Heaven. Let's stand on this first song, please.
Thank you.
fellowship this morning. Back to our seats. Let's turn page number 612. God is so good. Amen. He is.
Thank you.
this morning before our preaching service, Miss Haley has a song to do for us, so.
One.
that doesn't get you ready, get you excited, I don't know what will. I tell you, that song means a little bit more this week, doesn't it, Miss Haley?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Last week, if for you that don't know, Miss Haley came to the altar last Sunday evening and asked the Lord to save her. She said she just wasn't sure, and we rejoice with her. Amen. And so that just means a little bit. It's just means a little bit more this morning to her, and I'm thankful for that. I do appreciate you being here in our services this morning. Hope and pray that you've already been blessed. I feel the Lord's presence in our presence this morning, and I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit being with us this morning. I hope and pray that something might be said, something might be done to encourage you in your walk with the Lord this morning. I want to say once again, I appreciate those that, who have helped with our giving the church a facelift. It looks so good. I've had people come up to me multiple times, say, "Man, I just really appreciate the church looks so nice." And last week we got a little bit of a ring at them on this. Last week we took off the border, the wallpaper border, and Brother Sonny came over. I really appreciate him coming over and doing. He done most of that work. I like to sit in my office and hide while they're working, and but I appreciate him coming and doing that. He wasn't looking for recognition this morning, but I do appreciate all you men that have come and been such a blessing to me and Brother Nathan. Pray for them. He's at his in-laws this weekend. How many of us have in-laws? You know what I'm talking about then. And now I've got, I think my wife has great in-laws. So, well, it's good. Well, let me say this also. This week we'll be starting painting the bathrooms. We got all the wallpaper off, so we'll be painting the bathrooms this week in my office this week. So if you could help, please let me know. And so that way I know when to have things ready. And Brother Nathan will be back tomorrow evening. And so probably Tuesday we'll start painting. If you're able to come and help us with that, that'd be such a blessing. Tuesday, I think actually we'll have to do it on Wednesday, because Tuesday we have a conference that we're going to. So, but if you're able to help this week, that'd be such a blessing to us. I was praying about what to bring this morning. The Lord just dealt with my heart about this message and about this thought right here. I'm not going to be troubled. I'm not going to be troubled, or I'm not troubled, however you want to title it, but I'm not troubled this morning. One thing that is sure in this world today we're living in, we're living in some difficult times. Last night I was watching the news, and my wife and I were just sitting there watching the news, and we heard of all this. It seemed like they started off with murder and ended with murder. I mean, it just seems like it. We heard about things are going on in Indianapolis, and then this young lady that was left for dead there, or she was killed and murdered and left in the riverbed there, and it's just sad times that we're living in. I mean, it's wicked days that we're living in. Wicked days, and I believe that we're living in the last days. I was praying about the message this morning, and this just thought came to me: I'm not going to be troubled. You know, with everything, even everything that's going on, I don't have to be troubled. And the reason why is I can tell you with complete assurance this morning why I'm not troubled is because the Bible says in Matthew 24, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled." That's some assurance that we have right there. It says, "So for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I'm not troubled, because it sounds to me that prophecy is being fulfilled. Sounds like the Bible's true, amen. I have confidence in what the Word of God says. I'm not troubled, because I know that this is not my home. It's not my home. This past week, a good man of God went home to be with the Lord. And Miss Melinda's daddy, for you that don't know that, he's a preacher, a man of God. I appreciate his encouragement to me every time he came here. He would encourage me, and I appreciate that. Can I tell you, he's not troubled. And he wasn't troubled, and he's not troubled now. because heaven is his home. With that in mind, why are so many troubled today? Why are so many troubled? There's so much fear and concern about the future. And there's fear about the here and now. If we listen to the news, because of President Trump, the world is falling apart. That's what you hear on the news. Can I say it isn't President Trump that holds the world in his hands? God holds the world in his hands. Man. Can I say God is our commander in chief? And I want to encourage you this morning, don't be troubled. No matter what you hear going on in the news, no matter what you see going on around the world, don't be troubled. If you're a Christian, we don't have to be troubled. Let me assure you this morning that the Bible tells us how to handle difficult times in the days that we're living. This morning I want us to consider that we don't have to be troubled. Through these times we can have comfort and peace. It's sad to think that some Christians know very little about the peace and comfort that the Lord offers, that He gives. Troubles and trials are not a new invention. They've been around since the beginning. Life may be hard now, but it has never been easy. Perhaps life in earlier days was different, but it was not without difficulty. This morning, I want to encourage you that you don't have to be troubled. God is still in control. God is still on His throne. There's not a vacancy there. God is still in control. And no matter how gloomy things may appear, God is still here. Now, He knows exactly what's going on. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 27, you'll have turned there, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh and stumbled and fell, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be a confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon a rock, and He shall hide my head. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Sounds to me like the psalmist David was pretty confident in the Lord. He didn't have to fear. He wasn't troubled about many things. He wasn't troubled about those things. And sometimes we need to be reminded that God is eternal, and that His promises and His principles that are found in His Word are eternal as well. Sometimes we think, yeah, well, that was in David's time. No, it's in our time. The Bible says that He's the same today, yesterday, and forever.
Amen.
You know, God does not change. The Bible says in Malachi 3:6, it says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. I change not." Even in this ever-changing society, in this world that we're living in, he says, "I change not." I'm going to invite you to turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22 this morning. 2 Samuel chapter 22, that's where we're going to be for our message this morning. 2 Samuel chapter number 22. We're going to read the first 7 verses and then skip down a few verses. And 1 Samuel chapter 22 verse 1 says this, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock. In whom will I trust? He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I will call on the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compassed me, the floods of the ungodly, when men made me afraid, the sorrows of hell compassed about me about, the snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord, and cried to my God, and did hear my voice out of his temple, and my cry did enter into his ears." Isn't that good? In times of trouble, we can cry out to the Lord. Skip down to verse 47. The Bible says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation. It is God that avengeth me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord. Among the heathen I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of my salvation for his king. And showeth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, thank you. Thank you for the truths, the principles that are found in your word. Lord, I pray that you will just take this simple message that you've given to me, help it apply it to our hearts and our lives. Give each person here what they need to hear today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will give comfort. Lord, in these days of trouble, in these times of trouble, Lord, I pray that you will comfort those that are troubled this morning, that they would look to these principles today found in your word, how we don't have to be troubled. Lord, I pray that you would save that one that's nearest hell this morning. Lord, I pray that you would encourage that one that needs encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would convict that one that's needing convicting this morning. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor that comes from it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. These principles David gave us here in the Word of God, I want to point out just 3 simple principles that I think that if we apply these things to our lives, we'll say, hey, I'm not troubled. I'm not worried. I don't have to fear. I don't have to have anxiety about what the things are going on in my life. I don't have to worry about all these things. Why? Because David says here, number one, our salvation is from God. Our salvation is from God. You see, the Bible says there, look at in verse 1, it says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, The Lord is my rock." He says, "and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in whom will I trust? He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior." You realize that our salvation is not dependent upon us, but it's all dependent upon Him, what He's done. See, this is foundational. We must believe that salvation is from Him and from Him alone. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Hebrews 12, 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." You see, salvation was purchased by God. He was purchased by God in Acts 20:28. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." God purchased the church. It's by his blood that we are saved. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." God paid the ultimate price. The songs this morning went perfectly with the message. He paid the ultimate price for you and I. So our salvation was purchased by him, and we're not co-signers. We belong to him. Folks, we belong to him. We don't have to be troubled this morning, because salvation is in God. Our salvation we don't hold it in our hands. You know, I can tell you this, if I held your salvation in my hands, you'd slip out. You'd fall out. Why? Because I'm weak. But can I tell you, the Bible tells us there in John chapter 10 that he says that we are in his hands. He says, "No man is able to pluck them out of my hands, and my Father which gave me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands." Folks, we are in the hands of the Lord. I said this in the beginning. I said it isn't President Trump that holds this world in his hands. It's God. I tell you, our salvation's not held in anybody else's hands, but in God's hands. He's the one that provided salvation. He purchased salvation, but secondly, he provided salvation. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It was God's plan from the beginning of time. Hey, when God knew that man was going to sin, and because man was going to sin, there had to be a Redeemer. There had to be that perfect, spotless Lamb, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God provided the only way to salvation, and it is through his Son. There's not many ways. There's not many spokes on a wheel. There's only one way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Well, Pastor, I've been a good person. Well, that's wonderful, but being a good person is not going to get you to heaven. Well, Pastor, I've been baptized in 7 different churches. That is not going to get you to heaven. One old boy said this, "I don't care if you've been baptized so many times, the tadpoles know your social security number." That's not going to get you to heaven. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's only one way. One way. God purchased our salvation, but also he provided our salvation. But then salvation is promised by God. The Bible says that, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Since sin came into the world, God promised that he would purchase and provide salvation. Genesis 3:15, the beginning. God tells about it. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and he shall bruise his heel." Salvation not only is promised by God and provided by God and purchased by God, but I believe salvation is protected by God. I said this before, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Hebrews 13:5-6 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what men shall do unto me." You know, I've been reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. How many's ever read that book? Tremendous book to read. Tremendous book. I encourage you to read that book. I read that and talk about all those that died for their faith. You know what? They didn't have fear. They weren't afraid of persecution and prosecution and all these things. They weren't afraid of those things. Why? Because salvation is of God. They knew who held their salvation. They knew who purchased their salvation. They were confident in the God that they loved and they served. Folks, I'm telling you right now, we don't have to be troubled. We're not troubled. We're not afraid. Why? Because salvation is of God. You see, the Bible says this in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." David had confidence in the Lord because he knew that his salvation was in the Lord. We must have an anchor that is steadfast and sure in the midst of the storms of this life. James tells us that we don't know what tomorrow will bring. None of us have any idea what may be around the corner. We don't have any idea about that. Now, I don't say that to cause any fear to come upon anybody. I say that because we need to be ready. You need to be sure. I'm not worried about the uncertainties of life. We can have peace and confidence knowing that salvation is of God. You see, I say this, assurance is vital for the Christian. You need to know that you know that you know. You need to know that. The songwriter put it this way, "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand." David knew that he was saved. That was how he was able to say, the God of my rock, in whom will I trust? He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, and my Savior. He didn't say he might be. He said he was. He said he is. Our relationship with God needs to be a reality. Last week, Miss Haley just had some questions. She had some doubts. The Lord was dealing with her heart for a few weeks, some time. And she said, "I want to be sure. I want to know for sure." You know what? I seem to think that there's a lot of people that maybe pray a prayer or follow a plan, but they never truly trusted in the person of Jesus Christ. Our relationship with Christ needs to be a reality. Either we really have a personal relationship or we don't. Salvation is both fact and by faith. Fact, Christ died for the ungodly, amen? And then faith, all who believe will be saved. One of the reasons people are so troubled today is that they have a lack of assurance of a personal relationship with God. The Apostle Paul could deal with his hardships, the things that he dealt with, the times of trouble in his life. He said this in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Folks, I'm telling you, if you want to be able to have confidence, you want to be able to not worry and to not be troubled on every side, hey, if you want that, you need to be saved, number one. You have to have salvation. We can have assurance today. We can have confidence today. I will not be afraid because he's my salvation, but also I'm not going to be troubled. I'm not going to be troubled because our security is in God. My salvation is in God, but also my security. Look there in verse 1 again. It says, "And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul." Look there in verse 4. It says, "I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." Folks, you know the battle's not ours. The battle's his. If you belong to the Lord, hey, there's nothing that catches God by surprise. You say, "Well, what about this situation that I'm in?" Guess what? He knows about it. He allowed it to happen. He may have put it in your life. You see, I'm not afraid. I'm not troubled. Why? Because of my past. God has never forsaken me in the past. He's always protected me. He's always provided strength and security in time of need. He has always been there. Can I say that I will let you down? I will try not to, but I'm going to let you down. Your wife, your husband, your family, your children, your best friends, they're going to let you down from time to time, but God will never let you down. Never. David remembered his experiences with Goliath. He remembered how God delivered him from Goliath, which represents all the wicked and evil in our society. Goliath was an enemy that no man could conquer. But God enabled David to be victorious in that day. The Bible says this, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Can I tell you this morning, hey, you can't do it. I can't do it, but he can. And my faith and my trust, my confidence is in him, not in what I can do, because, folks, you can't do it. You need him. We all have giants. We all have giants that we must face from time to time. But also, I know that he's my security because of my past, but also because of his presence. Again, God has always been there for me. I remember times in my life that I was troubled, and then I remembered the Lord is with me. And the peace that passes all understanding. That's why this is my life verse. Because of this, I run to this verse. And Brother Taylor said it the other day, you ought to have a life verse. He's the one that taught me to have a life verse. In Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, by prayer and with supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Folks, be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Don't be troubled about anything. Say, oh, that's easy preaching. Yeah, it's easy preaching, hard living, isn't it? I have to run to this verse many times. Sometimes multiple times a day. Hey, be careful for nothing, Ricky. Don't worry about those things. Give them to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The three Hebrew boys had confidence in the Lord's security because they knew he was right there with them. Can I tell you, folks, whatever's happening in your life, if you're a Christian, God is right there with you. No matter what you're facing, no matter what trouble you're facing, no matter, hey, if this world is destroyed, the Bible says if the mountains be moved, I don't have to fear. Why? Because God is with me. The Lord is with me. Hey, to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. So many people are worried about the unknown. What happens when we die? I tell you, when you die, you go to be with the Lord if you're saved. I'm not worried about that. I was talking to Brother Greg the other day at the funeral. He goes, he says, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to be with the Lord. That's where we should all be at. I know some of us are young, and we think we don't even want to think about that right now. But can I tell you, heaven is going to be such a wonderful place. It's going to be such a wonderful place. Why we worry about, I'm not saying we need to go out and shoot ourselves and go that much faster. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is this. We enjoy the things of this life. It's only going to be so much better when we get to heaven. So much better. I'm looking forward to it. Because of his presence, but also because of his promises. He said it, therefore we can trust it, folks. Trust in the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 112, 7 and 8, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. This is not the power of positive thinking. It isn't about gathering up loads of self-confidence. This is about trusting in the promises of God. A God with whom we have a personal relationship with. You know, the Bible says, Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Because of our salvation is in him and our security is with him. Let me share with you the final thing this morning, our song to God. Look there in verse 50. Throughout the scripture there in 2 Samuel, but I picked out this verse. It says, therefore, I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. I was thinking as Miss Haley was singing this morning, I thought she has a new song in her heart. Sounded probably prettier than I've ever heard her sing. Why? Because it was a song of praise to the Lord. It was a song of praise. Now, worship should be a part of our life. And we need to realize that worship is not just something we do on Sunday. You can ask my family. They probably get annoyed, but I sing all the time. And I can tell you, I sound worse than Brother Greg. That's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. But I sing all the time. Not for other people, but I sing for the Lord. I've got a new song in my, I've got a song in my heart that I just sometimes I can't hold myself. Sometimes I'll be in the middle of a store sometimes and whistle and sing. My kids are like, they're embarrassed to death. But the thing of it is I want to sing about my Lord and my Savior. Sometimes I don't even know the words to the song. I just make up words. But Mike does that all the time when he's leading music. Started thinking about that, but Mike's eyes are going from, you know, his letters are a little bit small there, and he gets confused. Well, my wife this morning, she forgot her Bible at the house, so she was looking at my office, and she said, man, the words on his pages, man, they're awful small. That's a sign of getting old, I told her. You know what? I don't mind growing old with her. In time of trouble, we don't have to go looking. I don't want to have to go looking for God. The Bible says this in Psalm 27:5. It says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion, and the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I don't want to have to scramble around looking for God. I want to have to make sure and get all these things confessed. We need to be right with God right away. I want to be able to trust in him in times of trouble. The Bible says that he will set me upon a rock. When I begin to sink deep in the mire of sin and problems, I want to be able to call out to him. I want to be able to cry out to him and him hear my voice. When I'm to have confidence that he will reach down to lift me up out of the miry clay and out of the muck and the mire of this world and establish my feet upon a rock. The Bible says in Psalm 30, verse 1, I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. Then in Psalm 40, verse 2, he hath brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of miry clay and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. In Psalm 27, verse 6, it says this, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle a sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now, I looked up that word, sacrifice of joy. What that literally means, this is good. He says, I will shout with joy. I will shout with joy. Or it also means loudly, like a sounding of the battle cry. It's lifting up, hey, it doesn't matter what other people think. It's crying out unto God. But then it's there where it says, sing praises unto the Lord. That literally means I will lift up my voice in honor to praise Him. I will lift up my voice in honor to praise. He never said that we had to have a beautiful voice. Praise the Lord. He just said, lift up your voice unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I like that where it says joyful noise, because that's kind of what it is. It's a noise. But then I see that it should be a song of praise, but then it should be a song to be publicized. You need to let others know. Let others know. Psalm 107 verse 2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of his enemies. Let me ask you, folks, do people know that you're a Christian? Do people know? Do your coworkers know? Do your friends? Do you have that testimony amongst people that, hey, when you're in the market, there's something different about that person? That person's a Christian. That should be known about us. If I was to come into your house or someone come into your house, would they know just by looking at your house that you're a Christian? You say, how would they know that? There's testimony of God all over it. I've seen one of the members of our church that had, they just put on their wall, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a wonderful thing. See, we're not promised that we will always live a life of like a bed of roses. We're not promised that. Matter of fact, the Bible promises persecution and troubles and trials and all those things. We're going to face difficulties, but we can rest upon these principles today. If you're saved, hey, if you're saved, our salvation is in the Lord. We don't have to be troubled. Why? Because my salvation is in the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. My security is in the Lord. Hey, nothing's going to happen to me. There's not anything that's going to happen to me that the Lord doesn't allow or put in my life. Nothing comes around and sneaks up on God. He knows about everything. But then I have a song in my heart. You know what? We need to get back to rejoicing in what the Lord has done for us. He saved you. He's prepared a home in glory for you. And if you have those promises, folks, there should be a song in your heart that you can rejoice and you can lift up praises. I didn't say you had to sound good, but lift up praises unto the Lord. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The message this morning is, I'm not troubled. Let me ask you this morning, are you troubled? Are you troubled? Is there fear? Are you anxious about the unknown? Maybe you hear this morning, you say, Pastor, I can't say that I don't have any fear. I can't say that I'm confident in these things. I can't say that I'm confident in my salvation. Pastor, pray for me. I don't know for sure if I was to die today. I don't know for sure that I go to heaven. Pastor, would you pray for me? Anyone like that? Would you raise your hand? Anyone? I don't take for granted, not one moment do I take for granted that every person in here is saved. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, pray for me. Anyone? Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved, but I haven't been putting my confidence in the Lord. I've been worried about things of what's going to go on in the stock market, what's going to go on in the world. I've been worried about some things, but this morning I realized I need to put my trust in Him. Pastor, pray for me. Anyone like that? Yes, I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you for your honesty. Maybe you've lost your song. Pastor, I haven't been able to sing my song unto the Lord because I've just got so many things. I've got so many concerns. I've lost my song. I need to ask the Lord to restore to me the joy of my salvation. Pastor, pray for me. I need your prayers. Anyone like that? Yes. Anyone else? I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then Miss Haley's going to begin playing. As soon as she begins playing, I want you to lift up out of your seat, come to an altar, find a place at the altar, and do business with God. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Lord, I thank you for that you hold my salvation in your hands. Lord, I thank you for providing that salvation for me. Lord, I pray that, Lord, folks around this room would have their confidence in that. They would put their trust in that, not in the world, not in the society, not in all these things, not in our president, not in anything like that, but we put our confidence, our trust in you. Lord, I pray that we would see that our security is from you, that you're the one that takes care of all the things that's going on. Lord, that we would restore that song back into our hearts. Lord, for those that raise their hand, realizing there's some areas in their life, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work that only you can do in our lives. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray if there's one here that's not saved, that today would be the day of salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Would you stand to your feet? Miss Haley's going to begin playing. On that, go ahead and come. God has spoke to you. Come on. What are you putting your confidence in? What are you putting your hope in? I've had friends that have put their hope in their 401k. They said, "Oh, I'm gonna be able to provide for myself when I get that retirement age," only to find out that there was a stock market crash. Lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. I tell you, our confidence can't be in money. The Lord is my confidence. The Lord is my strength. He's my tower. He's my salvation. He's my refuge. As the ushers would come and take up this morning's tithes and offerings. Want to wish Miss Shauna Walker, she has a birthday this coming weekend, so you, if you see her, wish her a happy birthday. Also, happy anniversary to Brother Greg and Miss Suzanne. Again, that's a reminder, Brother Greg. So he said, during the break, he said, "Well," he said, "I was okay because she was out there. She didn't hear it." I said, "Well, maybe I need to repeat it then." And so, got to be there for him, you know. And but anyways, we wish them a happy anniversary. Just a couple announcements. March the 17th, there's a teen activity. Wednesday the 22nd, there's a church planner that's going to be with us, Elmer Cox. And then Sunday the 26th is our teen service. April the 1st is our prayer breakfast, soul winning visitation. Appreciate those that went out yesterday. And then our missionary of the week, Brother John and Miss Pam Burnett. Our deacon of the week, Brother Danny Lovejoy, he's preaching down the street right now, so you pray for him. They should be back tonight. And then our family week, Brother Tim Watson's family. And then the trustee of the week, Brother Sean McGinnis. All right, that's all the announcements that I have. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Eli, sir, would you please ask the blessing. Thank you. announcement, I want to remind you that there's a sign-up sheet on our Welcome Center counter there for the couples retreat, and we'd like to have, my goal is to have 15 couples this year, and so if we have more, that'd be great, but I'd like to have 15 couples, and it's going to be a great time, so make sure you sign up for that. All right, let's all stand. We'll close in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Jimmy, sir, would you close us in a word?
Gather in with the church family just to worship and praise you, to meet with you, Lord. Thank you for blessing us so abundantly with your presence here today. Thank you for the joy and the peace that comes from knowing you, Lord. But no matter what goes on around us, we know, Lord, you are in control, and we know the end of the stories. Father, we just worship you and thank you for all these good things. We ask, Lord, that you go with us as we go out into the world. May our light so shine. Other people will want to know you and draw my attention as well. We just love you and praise you. Thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his precious name, we ask these blessings and thank you for them. Amen.